Condemned to die on a cross for crimes he had done. He was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked to Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." In paradise that day he stood, just like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who had gone before. One said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I could hear him reply, "There are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done, it's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way of the cross. I had nothing to claim but my guilt and my shame. Hopelessly lost, I could not find my way. Till his glorious light of love shone down on me, and his mercy washed all my sins away. And what he did for me that day was a price I know he paid. By his grace, I too can say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done, it's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way. I see millions gathered round the throne from every kindred and tongue, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Let's all stand together. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. Man, forgetting to turn the microphone on, getting the kids out of here. You know, I'm nervous this morning. Brother Bob was nervous, so I'm going to be nervous too. Amen. Did Brother Bob seem nervous? I didn't think so. He said he was. I thought he did a great job. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking forward to our Sunday school series that just started this Sunday on prayer, and Brother Bob's doing that. It's been a blessing. I mean, it's been a blessing this morning, and so I'd encourage you to come be a part of that. Come be a part of that. Verse 28, the Bible says, "And when he was come to the other side, unto the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Let's pray together as we get started this morning. Father, we are thankful for your blessing, Lord, for your watch care over us, Lord. Thankful for your direction. Lord, we might put our hope and our trust in you. Lord, I pray this morning that you would come and meet with us, Lord. I pray that you would give us Lord, your clear direction, your guidance this morning. Pray that you convict us, encourage us, exhort us. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way and that you'd be glorified today. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So, number one here, I want to talk about Satan is taking ground. Satan is taking ground. We find these two men have been possessed. They've been taken over and controlled by these devils. In another place, he says, you know, what is thy name? And he said, we are legion. It talks about there's a legion. And when that Roman term is a whole army, could be 5,000-6,000. Of course, we could see a little bit later, it's probably about 2,000 and about that and that type of thing. They had been taken over and in control by these devils. Can I just say this to you this morning? If there's ever been any other time in history that men are being controlled by devils, it's certainly in our day that we live today. I mean, listen, it doesn't look the same as it did here in the New Testament. But we're living in a day that the actions of a lot of our society, particularly American society, is the only answer in the wickedness and the vileness is that there's certainly some control and some power and presence of Satan and that the possession in there. Listen, Satan and his devils are still doing that same work of possessing men. So I want to notice some things about these devils. First, we find here that they had occupied a place that that now no man could pass by. It said that there at the end of verse 28, so that no man might pass by that way. Listen, when the devil takes ground, he takes up position in a place, he doesn't want to relinquish that place. He doesn't want to relinquish that control and that power. He gets in and settles in there and maintains a place in somebody's life, maybe in an area of our society and our culture, and he gets there, doesn't want to get out of it. We can almost kind of see this in our political world. We seem to go forward a little bit and like, wow, things are going great, and then we go the other way, and there's this ground that's taken, right? Now it's anti-God, separated from God, and now we try to get a little bit, and so then the new leadership comes in. That's gone. They don't even try to get that anymore. I can remember many years ago, I was pastoring in Iowa. We had a city hall. One of the senators, Senator Chuck Grassley, came to our town hall and to our city hall there, and he came. We had a town hall meeting, and I thought, I'm going to go and just see what's going on. And in Iowa, there was a situation where they were there was casinos in the rivers. If it was in the river, you could have it, and Indian reservations had gotten permission to do this and so forth. And they had this, and one of the people there said, "Hey, could we? What can we do to not get any more casino licenses? And can we reduce the amount of licenses that are being issued? Can we kind of begin to get rid of that?" And I'll never forget it. This Senator Chuck Grassley, I thought he was a good enough guy. I don't know. I didn't know him. But He said it this way. He said, we've already made our deal with the devil. We're already using that money to fund our schools and to fund this. And I thought, man, we're just done. Once that space, that ground was given, that's done. Now let's move on for the next day. You know, and they'll get a place, and then they'll get another place, and then another place. And here they begin to have all these places. And I'm telling you, listen, this is how the devil works. Takes that ground, and the way, you know, he holds on to it is by exceeding fierceness. This is what we find was going on. There's terrorizing. Tormenting, murder, theft, destruction. There's places across our country today that people are afraid to walk in daylight that they used to walk at night. That's I'm talking about in the last few years, certainly the last 5-6 with the next, at least think about the last decade. Places that people would walk through the nighttime and not feel afraid won't walk there during the daylight. The things we see on the news, the things we see that's going on. Listen, it's a different kind of world. And this is the way this is done, by this fierceness of terrorizing and tormenting and murder and theft and destruction. But primarily, Satan uses one tool. Fear. 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 No one could pass by that way. Is what it says there. Took that ground and no one could be there. The second thing to notice about the devils is this. They believe in Jesus, the Son of God. They came up, and we're going to find out a little bit later, they didn't know about Jesus in this area, in this land, and people would be there, and they would come and see Him, and they'd ask Him, who are you? All right. The devils knew who He was. They knew who He was. They believed in Him. In verse 29, it says, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Listen, this wasn't mockery. This wasn't them mocking Jesus. This wasn't them talking out to Him. It wasn't them trying to agitate Him. This was them acknowledging Him. They knew who He was. The devils believe and tremble, is what it says over there in the book of James. They believe and tremble. It's interesting to understand here that in the spiritual world, those beings that are in the spiritual world, there is more belief in the Son of God than there is here in the physical world. They believe. They believe that He's there, right? They know who He is. When He came up, they knew right away. Jesus, His ministry wasn't fully exposed at that time, but they knew who He was. They see it, they believe, and they tremble, but are not moved. I want you to think about this with me for a moment, folks. Is this? They believed who He was. They knew who He was. But it didn't move them to be any different. Third thing we're going to notice about these devils is their comment. They said this. They said, what have we to do with thee? The phrase means something like this. I've talked about it, I think maybe Wednesday night or last week, I talked about that there's some phrases that in Hebrew or even in Greek, they'll be phrased, just like we have in English, you'll use a phrase that has a little catchy little thing by words, and so this is one of those things that's used throughout the. We'll find it throughout the Old Testament. There's some different places, even one place in the New Testament. It really means something like this: what is it to us and thee? In other words, it means this: we have no need to interfere in each other's business, right? In other words, maybe something like what's that between you and me? You know. That's your business. This is my business. Let's keep it over. This is a common use. Keep your place here, and I want us to look at a couple of these phrases. And go back to the Judges. Judges in chapter 11.
Judges chapter 11 and verse 12, we find this phrase being used, and Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, "What hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land?" And so he's using this same sort of phraseology. Turn over to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in chapter 16. And in verse 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, "Why should the dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And the king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?" Now, I'd love to break down each one of these. Y'all know I would. And we'd be here forever. So I'm just showing you. I'd like to just talk about this. This is a great story. Let's move on. John. I love those rabbits. You know what I mean? I love to chase them down, hunt them, and just play with them a little bit. But I'm going to just leave it because I want to focus on what we got. John in chapter 2. John in chapter 2. The Bible is so full of stuff that there's just, God has just packed a whole book of stuff to teach us how to live this life. Isn't that something? How to live this life, how to deal with this life, how to know Him, how He dealt with people. I mean, it's just full of it, and but we have to keep focused. Amen? We have to keep focused. John chapter 2, verse 3, he says this, he says, "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And so we find this situation, and this is the kind of the same situation we're finding here in Matthew, is this, the devil's really this, they wanted to be left alone. Think on that just for a moment. This is always their desire, to be left to their own devices. I like to spend a lot of time talking about that. And this is the way Satan works. He takes something, and then he has it. He owns it. I'm telling you, think about it. We just think about our public schools for a moment. Right? Health care. I can remember some years back when they started up there, I think, in Washington State, I think is where it was, this assisted suicide ended up working its way up into Canada, and now it's fully legal in Canada. I wasn't prepared to say this this morning, but I'd read some statistics. The amount of people that have been assisted in ending their life in Canada is since that thing has been, it's profound. But Satan will get these areas and he'll keep it. And the way he keeps us, he wants us to stay out of it. He gets fierce and angry and powerful and just, okay, right? Okay, think about this. And I want to just a moment, I'm going to get back to this. But just a moment, think about that neighbor that's so vile. You'd want to walk around. You know, the Jews would walk around Samaria. They didn't want to be near it. They just want to deal with it. You know that person that you see them, they're like, they're going to, every time I go by, step on the grass, they're just going to, I just want to avoid them like the plague. You know what I mean? Because they are the plague. And I want to avoid them. And what we end up doing is exactly what the devil wants to be done. He gets that ground and he wants to keep it in there, and it comes out with fierceness. And you know, the problem is a lot of times the reason we don't want to engage in that is because we're apt to respond with the same fierceness that they do. Yeah, I'm hearing this in politics today. You know, it's always been the right. When I say the right, I don't just mean Republicans and Democrats. I mean the right. Those that are conservative, those that Bible believers and fearing, you know, we kind of battle with rules. the Word of God. We're kind of bound to what we say we believe. They're bound to nothing. So they lie, cheat, steal, and hire people to do the same. Right? And so now there's a thing, and I'm hearing it. No, we can't. We're not going to win elections if we play fair. We're not going to be able to control this government if we don't cheat. So how's it working so far? Right? Listen, a lot of times the reason we don't want to get into those things is because we're afraid that we're going to respond in like manner. And so Satan, these devils, particularly here, they said they just want to be left alone. So it's their desires to be left to their own devices. The fourth thing, though, we see is that they knew their judgment was coming. Verse 29, we're back in Matthew chapter 8, the end of verse 29. He says this, "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" See, they know about the coming judgment. They know it's coming. Whoo, they know it. Hey, listen, we're sitting here trying, well, I don't know if it's really going to be fiery hell. I think it's just a state of mind. Now, I'm not saying we say that in here. I'm saying, you know, folks will say, well, you know, I think it's just, you know, you just go back to dirt. The devils, they know better. They know there's coming torment. It's a torment. It's going to be real. They know it's going to be, it's coming judgment. It's going to be tormenting. And so they now plead for this torment to be held off. It's not time yet, is what they're saying here. Are you gonna come hither to torment us before the time? They knew it wasn't time. They're preparing because they know that time's gonna come. I don't know that. Listen, there's a lot of things about demonology and all that, and we don't know. Okay, I'm not gonna try to pretend to know all these things. We only know what we were given. A lot of times we try to fill in too many blanks, right? We just know what we see here, and I don't know exactly what they think. What's going on? Satan is a deceiver. But at the same time, we find out that he at one point he thought he could rule God. So I don't know if these devils, these fallen angels and all these think that, you know, one day, hey, if we get enough crowd on our side, we can defeat God. I don't know if that's what they're thinking. I don't know if they're thinking, listen, we want to spend some more time and keep more people from turning to Jesus Christ. Maybe that's simply their desire. I don't know all this, but here's what I do know is they know there's a coming judgment. And they know it's, they're begging, well, are you come here before it's not time yet? You know what I like about that? God isn't on our schedule. You know? He's not saying, God, I thought, Lord, you were going to give me, you know, 60 and 10. Well, no. We don't always get 60 and 10. That's an average. Aren't y'all glad there's more than 60 and 10? Some of y'all are like, praise the Lord for that. Amen. look at verse 30. And there were a good way, and there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. So the fifth thing we're going to find here, we see about these devils, is that they believe in the power of Jesus Christ. Yeah, oh, they do. Listen, they now besought him. They plead or beg the Lord to send them into the pigs. If you're going to do this, can we say like this? Because we know you can. If you're going to do this, cast us out. Could you please cast us into the hogs, into the pigs? They believe in the power of prayer. Yeah. Amen. They believe in asking the Lord. They believe in His power. They believe in His might. They believe in His control. They understood that right now they were under His mercy. Would to God that we thought like that. They understood something's going on here right now, and so there's a lot of conjecture and thought about why did they want to go into the pigs. Maybe, you know, people say, well, you know, they knew if they were just cast out, they'd go into the abyss, or maybe and you know, the place they didn't want to be cast away and off the earth. And I don't know all that. We could maybe some conjecture, but they wanted to go from these men. They wanted to go into the pigs. Maybe they wanted to, I don't know, cause trouble as a pig. Maybe they want to be bacon. I don't know. I don't think that was the case. But they understood that they were now under the mercy of the Lord. They're subject unto the Lord. It's His kingdom. We call Satan the prince of the power of the air, but we still know who's in charge. Amen? Amen? So number two, I want to talk... Having faith like a devil. Having faith like a devil. Sounds pretty strange concept, doesn't it? I have the faith like a devil. They wholeheartedly believe in the presence and power of the Son of God. They believe that there's a coming judgment. They understand what Christ was doing and what He could do. And that He could do something for them. Man. The faith of a devil is quite amazing, isn't it? When we think about it, well, when you put it that way, you know, it's quite amazing. They understood who He was. They know there's a coming judgment. Listen, they know His power, and they know what He could do, and they know that He could do something for them at this moment. Yet, in all that knowledge and understanding, they still defy the living God. Isn't that a mess? I think this is the thing. As I was studying out this passage, and I was thinking, wow, all that they knew about Him, and yet that they would still defy the living God. I think of the worst of all things would be to know of the Lord, to hear His truth, to see it and believe it, and to even understand it and experience it in the life of others, but then refuse it. Man, I've seen it so many times as a pastor, as a Christian, dealing with people. I've seen it so much. And you tell them, they see somebody in their life, in their family. Isn't it interesting how somebody in their family, you know, gets saved. And they get excited for Jesus. And they begin living a life that's, can we just say, maybe purer, holier, separated, sanctified. You know what they want to do? They want to start going to church every week. And then you know what they want to start doing? Go at nighttime. Crazy Baptist. Go back to church at night. What's wrong with you? Is that a cult? Isn't that weird how that happens? And then you know, the neighbors start looking at, he's dressed like church again. I think they're going Wednesday night. What's wrong with these people, right? You see what I'm saying? And they see him getting early. What are y'all doing, a Sunday school too? You know, I mean, all of a sudden people get like sold out and excited about things of God. And you watch that, and then you start seeing their life change. They don't just talk about every night going to church. They actually live it out, and their life begins to change. And you start to see, they start to see something different in their life. Not like I visit Jesus, but He lives with me. Right? Becomes something like, this isn't just something that I do; it's something that I am. And they watch that, and they watch, and then they see their life change. And I've had family members come up to me and say, you know, I've told y'all before, but I was a very punk, rebellious teenager. Preteen, and you know, my mom would cry herself to sleep at night, wondering what's going to happen with me. My aunts and uncles, they knew when they'd come, you know, they knew what was going on. They tried to encourage my mom, and I don't know all the story. I don't want to know all, to be honest, be quite honest. I know enough that I feel bad enough about it, you understand? And so when I got saved and started living for the Lord, they come in, what happened to you? Wow, you're a different person. They're excited. And I'd start telling about the Lord. Oh, I don't know. Don't start preaching. Isn't that of weird? Somebody that would know about the Lord, heard His truth, they've seen it, they believe it, they understood it, experienced it, watching the lives of others, but then they refuse it. They deny His power. They reject His will. Man, what devilish behavior is that? Let me say to you this morning, don't have the faith of a devil. Don't have the faith of a devil. This is what they had. They've seen it all. They believed it. Can I just say, the faith of a devil, the one that sees and experiences, want to be around others and sees, but says, it's not for me. I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't really know. You know, whatever. You people go live your life like that. I'm just going to... Can I say the faith of a devil doesn't end well? Look at verse 31. So the devils besought Him, saying, "If Thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And He said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Jesus gives authority, He gives command, and He gives judgment, all in a two-letter word. Go. Whew! I mean, just think about this. This is how subject the devils are to Jesus. Can we go out? If you're going to send us out, don't send us. Can we go to the pigs over there? Can we go? And Jesus is here, and He says, I mean, I'd like to think He just like pointed. I don't think He even pointed. I don't even know if He nodded. I think He just, go. Whew! We have the first recorded instance of suicide. Some of y'all get that later. I can't preach this passage without saying that. It's just suicide. Okay. It didn't end well for them. The faith of a devil, to believe in God, to believe in His power, to believe He will judge. Okay, can I say to you this morning, it's not good enough, my friends. It's not good enough just to believe in God. It's not good enough to just believe in His power. It's not good enough to believe He will judge. Yeah, God, He's gonna judge you one day. Now, that doesn't mean you're a Christian. Hey, listen, to come and believe, God can do anything. God can get me out of this. I hear so many, if I use this phrase, I see so many defiant individuals that talk about what God can do. I know God can do whatever He wants. God can do it. God's going to do this. Like, you don't even know who He is. It's this idea of a God that He can do it. And listen, and the right, they say this, He's got the power, He can do this, but they believe that one day God's going to judge folks, and then to just sit there, whew, and reject Him and His power and His presence. Listen, Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, I've got one thing that you can try. Well, if you tried following me for a little bit, see if that'll work." No, that's not what He said. He has commanded all men everywhere to repent. It's not good enough to just believe that God is who He said He is. It's more than that. Believing in what He is and what He can do is what the devils do. It's not enough to be saved from our sin. It's not enough. Salvation and a relationship with Jesus Christ comes from turning away from sin. Repentance. It's the choice not only to believe what He is and what He can do, but to choose Him to be your Lord and Savior. Choosing Christ is so much different than just knowing Him. And I'd really like to say here, somebody that wouldn't choose Him doesn't really know Him. I may say he does. I may talk about Him. I lived my life like that for quite a while. I know about God. He's great. God, He's there. It wasn't enough. It's never enough. That's not God's plan. So number three, the power and the presence of Christ can be perplexing. Look at verse 33 now. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw Him, they besought Him that He would depart out of their coasts. This is a strange reaction to such a great moment. You see them, they're all coming out to meet Jesus. You're like, they're about to be like, woo! Right? They come out and meet Jesus. And they, listen, they come, the guy that, listen, the guy, they didn't know Him. All of a sudden, he cast out demons. Listen, there's no longer going to be a screaming and wailing of these demon-possessed men down there at the cemetery. Whew, that, could you just imagine hearing that at night? Creepy? Scary? Are they going to come and freak out? They would put them in chains and they would break the chains. They couldn't bind them. That's not somebody I want to mess with. You understand? You say, I could get them. I'll tell you, I've seen people on drugs do things that humans shouldn't be able to do. They numb their own senses to pain and they go through things. Listen, I'm telling you, demon-possessed, this kind of thing. I'm just thinking, wow, the person that did this, I could go back and maybe, I don't know what they did in those days, but maybe they'd go back to the graveyard to visit their friend. Maybe where were they putting people now? They couldn't even go by the graveyard anymore. I don't know what was going on. They were going to be freed from the fierceness of these tormentors. So a marvelous miracle had taken place. But the response was fear. People are strange, ain't they? People are strange. I'm glad I'm not like them. You know, people. Right? So instead of being drawn to the presence and power and protection of the Christ, which is what they should have been, they were afraid. Their response was to beg Him to leave. Should have been to be begging Him to stay. Isn't that weird? The power and presence of Christ is perplexing. I'm telling you, folks, it's strange. People, you know, they'll come and you want to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's done. They want to see what He's done. And then the people will often respond with some strange behavior. I can't tell you. I don't understand it. I wish I could. Really wish I could. Because I figure out, I could talk them down. But I'm telling you, this is a spiritual battle. This isn't a physical battle. I've tried to logic people to Christ many, many times. Try to tell them, explain them, and why they, listen, there's a judgment, and why God has such great wonder for them, and what God can do in their life, and what He's done in my life, and what He's done in these lives. And you tell them, and they look at you, and folks will look at you like, yeah, I'd have to stop cussing. That's it? That's the comparison. Yeah, if I did that, then I wouldn't be able to, you know, go drinking and do the things. So there's an eternity or a beer. It's perplexing, folks. The unknown can be pretty scary. So the response is begging Him to leave. Would you leave us? You know what they want to do? It's not much different than what the devils want to do, was it? What do we have to do between you and me? Why? Just leave us to our business. Let us Let us live life the way we're living life. I can't. Can't. This is a hard thing. It divides very friends. It divides mother from daughter. Father from son. It divides us. When salvation came to my heart and my mind and my understanding, and I realized what God did in my life, there's a family member, a friend, neighbor that didn't know. I can't just not pass by that way anymore. You understand what I'm saying? I have to bring, and they want to say, would you leave? Just leave me alone. Can't we just be friends without talking about God? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of like some lady that I used to be friends with, and I'm going to just be friends. And I said, yeah, I'm married now. She said, can we just be friends and not talk about that you have a wife? No, it's my life now. It's my life now. Well, so why do you always have to preach when you come? This isn't preaching. This is just me living out who God is to me. Who is me now? Now I'm a follower of Christ. Before I was a follower of me. Sin, flesh, the world. But now it's different. Life is different. If I can go on life without talking about it. By the way, I don't mean being a Bible thumper. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about being annoying. You know what I'm saying? Amen, praise Jesus. And every ooh, praise the Lord. I almost stepped on a pothole and there's a rock in my shoe. Praise Him, I didn't step it. You know what I mean? We can be dumb. We can be kind of ridiculous. That's not a nice word. We can be ridiculous and overemphasize that. By the way, when I do stuff like that, you know who that's about? That's about me. I want you to know how much I love Jesus. I want you to know how important. But you know, when it's about you, I'm trying to find a way to tell you about Him. Not for me, but for you. But these people said, could you leave so we could live how we're living? I think about the apostles here, and sometimes Jesus is interacting with these people, and what we're not thinking about is there's a whole crowd of men following Him. Like about 12 of them. And they're following Him, sometimes I just think about them, so I'm thinking about, what were they thinking? You know, I mean, this whole interaction, and they're here, and they're just like, wow, this is crazy. I mean, what happened that day? What they experienced? Look with me a little bit here. We're not going to do too much, but just a little bit. Back at the beginning of chapter 8, in verse 1. He says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. By the way, you know about leprosy? There's really one person healed of leprosy in the Old Testament. Wasn't a common thing. And so here we find this situation, and Jesus put forth His hand, verse 3, and touched him and saying, I will, be thou cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I'm thinking the apostles were like, this leper should not be around Jesus, but I'm not going to get close enough to get him out of there. Lord, could you come over this way? Put a mask on. You know what I'm saying? This kind of thing. They saw that. And then go down to verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Verse 14, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when the even was come, they brought him unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave command to depart unto the other side. Verse 23. And when He was entered into the ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And the disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And then in verse 28, He comes in on the other side of the country, the Gergesenes. Two men possessed of devils. I'm saying, wow, what a couple days. The days in the life of the apostles. Man, imagine if they wrote books. Well, they did. So, I mean, wow. What they saw. Just a couple days. They saw all sorts of folks healed from leprosy to a fever. I mean, uncurable disease to an everyday thing. I don't know. It's just from Jew to Gentile. Nothing was left out. Jesus did just whatsoever He would. They watched the Lord calm the sea that was overtaking them to the point of death. Lord, we're going to die. We perish. Don't you care? You said, what is wrong with you people? You don't get who I am yet, do you? No. Those, we're not talking about the devils. We're talking about the apostles, the disciples. Here they were in the boat. Lord, we're going to die. Are we, though? Am I done? I've thought about this. How would I word it to be better? You know? I know you're going to get this. Should I wake you up and let you know we're about to go into the ocean? We don't want us to, into the sea. I don't know how you would word it. But something in what they believed was wrong. And He looks out through this ocean, the sea is about to, and He's, peace be still. And he just tells us, stop. All right. The sea calms. Just the wind and sea just stops. Man, what an amazing... I mean, do we get that? It's what happened here, right? Now these demons speaking to the Lord, begging for His mercy to the townspeople, afraid of His power. I wonder if those apostles remembered back to that evening before. Verse 27, they said, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the seas obey Him. The power of Christ is wonderful. I'm telling you, folks, I don't think we grabbed this like they grabbed it. I really don't. His power isn't better. It's not greater. It's unfathomable. There's nothing that He cannot do. And this isn't like even a task for God. Go. Peace be still. Man. So number four, I want you to notice the results of that power. Turn with me over to the book of Mark. Mark in chapter 5. We're going to find this same account there. I want to just notice a couple things here. Mark chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, And they that fed the swine fled. Or in Mark chapter 5, verse 14, they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see Him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in His right mind, and they were afraid. I mean, I could talk about that for a long time right there. The guy is free. What are you afraid of now? This guy was the terror before. Now he's in his right mind and dressed. At least you can look upon him. You know what I'm saying? There's something going on there. I'm saying fear came upon them that had seen Jesus but didn't know him. That power is the power to set men free. Verse 18, he says it this way, or it says here, it says that when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. So it's an interesting turn of events that day. Three prayers were made. Y'all with me this morning? Is it getting too long? Getting too warm? Getting a little sleepy? No? Y'all with me? We're about done. Should we just close now? No, let's hear. Okay, I'm not getting you. But three prayers. Three prayers were prayed that day. The devils prayed that Jesus would allow them to go into the hogs. The Lord granted it. The Lord said, go. The townsfolk prayed that Jesus would leave the coast. He also granted their request. Then there's this man who was once bound in sin, was now set free, and he asked to come along with Jesus, but the Lord refused him. Getting what you want isn't always what you need. By the way, getting what you want isn't always what you want. You know what I mean? I'm staying right there. The Lord's direction for this man was different. It was a different deal. He said again in verse 19, he says, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And he had compassion and how he and hath had compassion on thee. Listen, I'm telling you, what was done for you by the Lord Jesus Christ is amazing. His compassion is profound. The response we might think that's appropriate getting is, listen, the appropriate response we think might think right here, getting out of this God-forsaken place and going off with Jesus into the sunset sounds like an amazing end to that day. Whew, I was a demon I was possessed with demons in the tombs and Jesus saved me and now I'm hanging out with Him. Whew. I mean, wouldn't it be great to have him come along and, yeah, this is what's going on. But no. Listen, the Lord said no. You now have something to give that Jesus Christ Himself can't give. You now have a testimony of the compassion you received from the Savior. We're not saved from the burden of our sin to go off into glory. We now have something to give to our friends. You know, before I really wasn't a very good friend. No, listen to what I'm saying to you. I wasn't a very good friend. I didn't give folks, my friends, I didn't give them anything that would really help them in this life. I wasn't a very good friend at all. Verse 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So number five, last thing, what can one person do? What can one person do? There are two things we need to realize. Number one, Jesus Christ has the power to set men free. Amen? Number two, He wants us to go and tell others about it. Right, Matthew chapter 28, I don't know if you've ever seen this passage before. Matthew 28 and in verse 18, he says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Listen, this power belongs to Him. His way to demonstrate and distribute that power is through those that have been freed to take it to others. That's his way. He said, this is my power, but I'm going to give it to you to go take it out there. Now look here. Now let's look at the results of that man. Look back in Mark chapter 6. What's the results of that one man, that maniac of Gadara? Verse 50, Mark chapter 6, verse 53. And when they had passed over, they came into to the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry out about in beds those that were sick when they heard he was, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or countries, by the way, the same place those keepers of the herd went and told everybody, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that he might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. The land that begged Jesus to leave now knew and desired him. They understood and believed his power. This is the result of going home and telling your friends how great things the Lord hath done for you, that had compassion on you. You say, so if I go home and tell everybody, everybody's going to be waiting out in the streets for Jesus. Well, not exactly. But they won't know him if we don't tell them. Or we might say this way, just one person can make a difference. I wished everyone that heard got saved. I do. But there's many people that just have the faith of a devil. They'll hear and not believe. They'll know about these things but not trust him. Listen, folks, this isn't complicated. Let's have faith greater than the devil's. A faith that will choose to turn to Christ. A faith that will be so life-changing. Imagine telling your friends about a God that Savior, a salvation that changed your life. And now I'm following him. But you don't. And you say, man, this God, he could do anything in your life. He can help you. But we kind of live like we don't believe that. It's hard to really convince. You ever done something so stupid in your faith that you hurt other people that you're trying to reach? And you wish you could take it back? You know, we don't have take backs, but we do have what's repentance. And say, God, I want to live for you. Listen, the negative side is that. The positive side is I could just live out what God has done in my life. Tell him. Let me tell you about what God's done for me. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, I do pray that, Lord, as we see this account of these possessed with devils, how, Lord, you come and just your power is so present in this situation. And Lord, maybe there's some here this morning. Maybe there's someone here this morning that is still without Christ. Their faith is really the faith of a devil. Believes all the things about you, but is still putting their hope and their trust in themselves. Lord, I pray if there's someone like that here this morning, Lord, you'd convict that heart. You'd convince them. They would come and present themselves as their need for a Savior. And then, Lord, pray that you would take your people, help us, Lord, encourage us. Lord, would you encourage us to tell of the great things that you've done in our lives, your compassion on us. Lord, your plan is to take those that have received this freedom and the power that's with that to give it to others. Lord, do a work in our lives and we'll give you the praise and glory for it now in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together.